This is Dennis Michelson. Welcome to the Data Lab here on For Frequency's Sake. Joining me as he does each and every week here in the Data Lab, it's the Professor John Bush. John, welcome back.
Hey, Dennis. We're, I guess, excited now. We're moving from the research only to the application side of our preseason research that you and I have been doing since I don't think we ever stopped. We just now we get to apply some of it. So it puts me kind of in a sad mood. You know, I'm sad because I love to do research and now I've got to actually apply it and find out how wrong I'm going to be about some players. It's going to happen. It's coming. Just like week one, people are going to be shocked and amazed. Whatever happens, people are not going to see it. Something's going to be surprising. And you know that we didn't get 100% right. And it's coming. So I'm just kind of getting ready for it.
In any forecast of the future, you are not going to be perfect. I don't care what you're forecasting. I remember one time forecasting severe weather. I told guys that they were going to get 65-mile-an-hour wind gusts. I told them that it was going to start at 2:30 in the afternoon. The first thunderstorm erupted over their service area at 2:27, and they thought the forecast was a bust. They had a wind. Yeah. They had a wind gust of 67 miles an hour was the highest wind gust, and they told me my forecast wasn't good.
It wasn't good.
And I told them just about where to put that forecast discussion, because if you're that close, you've provided them with a great forecast. But here's the thing in fantasy football, you don't even need to be that exact. You just need to be better than the consensus to make money. We've shown folks that with the stats all year long leading up to the season. And now in the season, it's just a matter of being better than consensus often enough to bring home some money.
And it's a weekly game, folks. So we're switching from a season view. Now we're looking at game scripts, setting lineups, trying to beat them on a weekly level. Now we're not worried about, whether Tyler Lockett goes off one of his five games of the season. We're trying to beat our opponent at a weekly level here. So the game shifts a little bit now.
And here in the Data Lab, we'll pick up on some patterns. And the quicker you can recognize some of the patterns and some of the changes in strengths of defense and strengths of offensive lines and how offenses are getting together, who the target choices are in new offenses, how new coaches are game planning, we will spot those patterns and we'll share them with you here in the Data Lab, because while the preseason data crunching has ended and only about 4,700 studies that are waiting for next year now at this point, we will continue to study data through the season and looking for patterns. I chart the data in ways that I can hopefully pick up on some patterns that will emerge in volume use and in point scoring that can help you. But some of the experiments that we do here in the Data Lab are just for fun. I had to do one this past weekend where I wanted to put four different strategies of ways to draft a team to the test and see which one did better. But here's the thing. Even though I controlled a lot of factors by drafting all four teams within about 2 hours of each other, so the date of the drafts were all as constant as they can be. They were randomized players from public leagues, so they were not set fields. So they're not against the same people. So that's one variable that comes into play. I might have one league with six strong players, one with eight cupcakes. I have no way of controlling those factors in this test. And then I just used the draft pick that I got to determine which strategy I would use, giving the edge to zero RB. So in other words, I was looking for a draft pick somewhere in the middle of the first round, and that was going to be my zero RB team. I was looking for an early draft pick. That was going to be my hero RB. I was looking for a late draft pick. That was going to be my super stack team, and I'll explain what that means in a moment. And then the other team would just be my better than zero, which of course you've already read about and hopefully used as your drafting philosophy over on Science of Fantasy Football. You've already read about that. So this test is just one data point each. So it's just for fun. But it's interesting some of the things that you find out, because if you use the same draft strategy, meaning you're using the same starting data and you're using the same ADP, because these drafts were all done on ESPN, you're going to end up with a remarkable number of similar players that are common to almost every team, including one guy who is on every one of my teams. Amon-Ra St. Brown ended up on every single one of these teams.
You and I talked about him. We talked about him being prominent in the so-called wide receiver value zone that people were calling the dead zone for running backs. We flipped the script there, and he was one of our targets, definitely one of mine. I grabbed him in about half of my 50 redraft leagues, and so could be the ship could be burning or not, but I'm hoping that it's all going to work out, and I will be happy, and hopefully you will as well.
And there's an article up about this over on scienceoffantasyfootball.com showing you the rosters, and I'm not making any guesses as to which is the better team right now. I think all four teams look pretty strong, which proves my first point in that you can use any philosophy. Superstack, this is how nonsensical this was. This is something I would never do in fantasy football redraft. I have Patrick Mahomes at quarterback. I have Clyde Edwards-Helaire as my running back. I have Travis Kelce as my tight end. I have the Kansas City Chiefs defense as my defense. And I've got Harrison Butker from Kansas City, their kicker, as my kicker. And oh yeah, I got sniped on Juju Smith-Schuster about two rounds earlier than his ADP, so I did not take him, but I did get Marquez Valdez-Scantling, MVS, as my wide receiver. So I've got a player at each position from the Kansas City Chiefs, and yes, I picked the Kansas City Chiefs for the super stack because I'm a Chiefs fan, so go shoot me. But I really do like this team because my super stack, my other running backs ended up being Dalvin Cook and Saquon Barkley.
That's nice. Those are certainly early targets. I've grabbed both of those. We even talked about Saquon being kind of a nice RB2 that we were able to get in some situations, probably earlier in the summer versus later. Things started tightening down in the later, August. But I remember being able, and I even got Kamara as my RB3 on one team as well. So there was times, there were good times early in the summer here. So I think next year I'm going to be definitely fishing in those waters again. And I'm hoping with my diary that it's going to tell me that I'm pretty good early and probably, maybe I should back off late. We'll see what happens.
And that was part of the better than zero philosophy, was looking at the ADP, looking at where the wide receivers were going. Early rounds, I'm taking the best player available. I ended up with Ja'Marr Chase on my better than zero team, but I also ended up with Deontay Johnson, A.J. Brown, and Amon-Ra St. Brown as my number four wide receiver. That team has Kamara, Elijah Mitchell, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, It has Damian Pierce as Raheem Mostert, Kenny Walker III, James Cook, and Trey Sermon as my running back. So you notice running back hoarding, part of the better than zero philosophy, was on full display, but every single one of those guys has a route to being the lead running back on their team.
And we've talked about that as you troll, and probably later in the draft, you start looking for these kind of players. And I know you definitely went hunting for that. I did as well, but probably not to the extent that you did. I was looking for people like Nakeem Hines, McKissick, that are kind of a little bit more proven PPR types that were hopefully going to go with some of my stronger running backs. And I was hoping that we were going to get enough surprises that the waiver wire would be fruitful. So I was kind of betting on me having to invest large amounts of capital in the waiver wire, you know, with a surprise coming up. But we'll see how that goes.
There's always surprises at running back and wide receiver. No matter how well we prepare in advance, there is going to be a UDFA that comes out of nowhere and has one or two good weeks. The question is that just a fluke, or is there a hope for steady volume that keeps producing big results? Remember, folks, heading into week one and watching week one results, be chasing volume for week two in fantasy football. Do not chase the points. A guy can have 10 touches, 2 touchdowns, and have his stats look great, and then the next week he isn't going to get even 10 carries or 10 touches combined, and he'll end up having a 35-yard week. So chase volume, not points. And remember, we'll continue to have some great studies. And also on the Science of Fantasy Football podcast, we'll be showing you some great data breakdowns for your matchup data plays that the professor is really strong on all season long. So head on over to scienceoffantasyfootball.com. Check out the great content by the professor as he shows you which games are going to be the highest scoring according to Vegas, but also which games are easier to exploit based on strength of defense. And come on back here next week for another edition of the Data Lab here on For Frequency's Sake.
Okay, folks, week one, expect the unexpected. Don't be surprised. Get to work.